FM. Well, hundreds of thousands of people are expected to line the streets and parks of Vancouver this Sunday for the annual Pride Parade, the culmination of Pride Week in Vancouver. In other BC communities, annual Pride events have already happened and a few are still to come. There have been close to 4,000 same-sex marriages in BC over the last 10 years, and a growing number of same-sex couples are having children. We'd like to hear from you right now, especially if you, a family member or friend, is lesbian, bisexual, gay, transsexual, or queer. What are the positive changes in our communities over the past few years for LGBTQ citizens, and what barriers and forms of discrimination still exist? Dara Parker is the Executive Director of Community, BC's Queer Resource Center, and you can call us province-wide 1-800-825-5950, 604-669-3733 in the Lower Mainland, and star or pound 690 on your cell phone. And Dara Parker, welcome to BC Almanac.
It's a pleasure to be here.
First of all, I'd like to talk to you about terminology when we talk about LGBTQ. Last month in Vancouver, there was a forum on the word queer and some sense that there was some pushback to the word because it may be used as a slur. I'm wondering what your thoughts are on that.
I have so many thoughts on this. I'm so glad this is where we started, because language is so difficult for so many folks, because I think many of us are always trying to be inclusive and respectful. And I know that LGBTQ language can change very quickly and it's tough for people to keep up. So Community, the Queer Resource Center for BC, obviously the word queer is inherent in our brand. And we use that for two reasons. One, we see queer as an umbrella term that's the most philosophically inclusive for all of the diverse members of our community, because we are a community of many communities. And so really, we use it as an umbrella for anyone who has a non-normative sexual orientation or gender identity. And anybody who wants to get under the umbrella is more than welcome.
And so how do you respond then to people who say that I consider that to be an offensive term?
And two, we don't need consensus on this issue, and that's perfectly okay. We're very conscious that different people use different words and have different experiences with different words. And queer is one of those politically charged words that has a negative history and has been reclaimed largely by the community. But as a younger queer woman, and that's my own self-identity and word of choice, I completely understand and respect the fact that other people, especially older folks who have experienced that word in a more derogatory sense, don't want to use it.
Well, certainly, as you say, language reflects the way it changes, the way we use reflects the political changes and the shifts that have happened as well over the last few years. And since the legalization of same-sex marriage, what are the changes that you've observed in terms of more queer couples having children?
I think that same-sex marriage was a really important cultural tipping point in the queer landscape in Canada. And it wasn't that everybody who was queer identified wanted to get married necessarily, but we wanted the ability to have that legal recognition, and that was important for some queer families. And it also afforded other rights. So there were the legal rights that were afforded, but I think more significantly, it was the cultural normativity that it provided, that it helped create more visibility for queer families, for queer couples, for queer individuals, and helped lend legitimacy. Whether or not that's appropriate is a whole other discussion, but I think that's what it effectively did.
And have you seen a growth of same-sex parented families in the community, and what are the distinct issues that they face?
Anecdotally, yes. My partner and I were joking on the weekend. She plays in the Maple League, which is a queer women's softball league in Vancouver that's very popular. And we were joking that at least half her team is pregnant right now. So we're seeing in our circle of friends that a lot more queer people are deciding to have children. And what does that mean? I think it informs all of our institutions. We, you know, almost every culture in the world is formed around families. And what queer folks have always done is challenged a traditional understanding of what family means. I mean, long before same-sex marriage recognition, we were defining our own families. And the concept of chosen family very much comes from the queer community. And I love that concept because it goes beyond bloodlines.
Mm-hmm. You're building people around you as a family as well.
Absolutely. When we weren't legally recognized by the state, we were already existing and collecting and creating families that, were just as important without that legal recognition. And what's interesting is now they are mostly being legally recognized. And I think, in fact, queer culture is informing that legal infrastructure, because what BC did in the last year was allow up to 4 parents to be on BC birth certificates. And I actually think that comes out of queer culture.
Right. One of the changes that have come into place in the last year. 1-800-825-5950 around the province, 604-669-3733. I'll say that again, 604-669-3733 in the Lower Mainland, star or pound 690 on your cell phone. Give us a call and let us know what you think have been the changes, the positive changes in our communities over the past few years for LGBTQ citizens, and what barriers and forms of discrimination still exist. My guest is Dara Parker, who's the executive director of Community, BC's Queer Resource Center. And I'd like to ask you about that. What are the challenges still, Dara?
Facing queer families specifically? There are, because there's lots of issues facing the queer community, and I think queer families are one of the demographics within our community that continue to sort of push the boundaries in what are traditional institutions. So when they go to daycare, when they go to schools, when they go to PTAs, they're challenging what we've understood as cultural norms. And we live in a very heteronormative world where you still show up to drop your child off at daycare, and if you're a woman, they ask if, you know, the husband is involved in parenting. There's an assumption there that you're straight and you have to correct or challenge that notion. And so I think just in our very existence, and as we become more visible in this infrastructure and have more children, we're challenging those norms. So how do we create an environment where that's not the assumption?
I was speaking with a family member last night who is about to get married, in fact, and he and his partner would like to have children. He shared a concern that it may not happen, that there may be challenges if they pursue the adoption route, for example. Are you hearing that among gay couples?
Certainly, I think there's a distinction here between gay men and gay women, that gay women, cisgendered women, have uteri. Is that how you pluralize the word uterus? And that makes it technically a little
bit
easier.
Again, with the language. Yeah.
it's tricky. I know CBC will correct me if I'm wrong. So that makes it a little easier for queer female couples. For gay male couples, it gets very expensive and a little more technical, because in Canada, we have pretty strict reproductive laws. And so you cannot pay a surrogate and you cannot pay for eggs. And so some folks in my community are looking abroad, and some folks are going through a very expensive and lengthy process here if they choose to have a bio child. And then others are looking at adoption.
Let's go to the phones now, and Ken is waiting to comment from West Vancouver. Hi, Ken.
Hi there.
Hi, what would you like to say?
Well, my comment is, I think the terminology is very awkward. LGBTQ is a difficult thing to remember and to say, and the components of it can be very pejorative, like queer. I don't think that's a good term. I would suggest that whole grouping or a movement just call themselves alternate, or some neutral term like that, and that would be easier to say, and it covers everybody.
Dara Parker.
Yeah, it's an interesting idea. I'm not sure there is neutral language. I think language is inherently political, and it evolves, and I like that aspect. And for me, what's really important is that people are able to self-identify. And so in my work, if someone doesn't like the word, I don't use it with them. And other folks I know are incredibly passionate about the word, and I try to reflect that back.
We're asking our listeners to comment as well, especially if you or a family member or friend is lesbian, bisexual, gay, transsexual, or queer, LGBTQ. And what are the positive changes in our communities over the past few years for LGBTQ citizens? What barriers and forms of discrimination still exist in your observation? 1-800-825-5950 around the province, 604-669-3733 in the Lower Mainland, star or pound 690. On your cell phone. You can also tweet us at BC Almanac. Well, the 18th annual Pride Parade in Prince George took place on July 5th. The mayor marched, but as in all the previous years, there were no local, provincial, or federal politicians. Valentine Crawford is the acting president of Prince George Pride, and she joined us on the line. Good afternoon to you.
Hey, good afternoon. I'm actually a guy.
Oh, so, my apologies.
That's okay.
I mentioned that politicians, the mayor marched in the Pride Parade, but no local, provincial, or federal politicians. Valentine, what does that indicate about the acceptance of the gay community in Prince George?
Well, it seems to be a little convoluted, right? You've got things being said on one side of the table and then local politicians completely acting on and walking the walk and talking the talk, right? So it's kind of interesting from a community standpoint on how largely the community is actually supported in the political realm of things.
And can you paint us a picture of what it is like to be gay in Prince George?
Really, it depends on who you are and who you roll with, but it's a smaller community, and so it's a lot more like a family, not a big family, but a small family. But nevertheless, you kind of know everyone, and you have some sort of connection with everyone around you, whether or not it be through work in that work, play, sports clubs, whatever. And we're all really intimately connected, and that's some of the comments and feedback that we've had from visitors from Toronto, and that is that they really felt a part of our community because it's so intimate, whereas you go to Vancouver and Toronto and Edmonton and that, and you kind of get drowned out in the mass amounts of people, right? So it's kind of neat to what we can offer as a small community for gay and lesbian people.
And given that it is a smaller community and a lot of the support, as you say, comes from personal relationships, what other supports or what resources do you think are needed in order to support people in Prince George?
Well, we have a growing number of young people coming out over the last several years, and I only graduated in 2002, so, you know, I'm still relatively young, but we didn't have a lot of supports. You know, we had some supports when I was in high school, but now we don't really have anything other than the Gay Straight Alliances that the high schools operate. So there's a growing need and a growing demand for young people, especially the ones that are identifying as trans. There's a growing population of them. We have as young as in elementary school, and there was an article and a story done just after Pride about one individual's challenges in the family. So it's a lot. It's an absence of resources for kids mainly is what we're facing.
Well, Valentine, thank you so much for sharing your concerns and your comments with us this afternoon.
You're welcome.
Happy Pride to you.
You too.
Valentine Crawford is the acting president of Prince George Pride. And we're asking you to call in as well with your comments where you live in British Columbia. What do you think have been the changes in your community over the past few years for LGBTQ citizens? And what barriers forms of discrimination still exist? 1-800-825-5950 around the province, 604-669-3733 in the Lower Mainland, and star or pound 690 on your cell phone. Dara Parker is my guest. She's the executive director of Community, BC's Queer Resource Centre. And Dara, what do you make of what you've heard from Valentine in Prince George in terms of what resources are still needed, especially for young people?
Well, firstly, it sounded like there was a really positive, strong community in Prince George, which is great. And the fact that there are more people coming out, I think that's probably because it starts to feel safer. There's increased visibility. And all the work that we do at Community, I want to acknowledge that I think we're moving in the right direction. We're making progress. Things are getting better. And simultaneously, there's still work to be done. While I feel incredibly privileged to live in a progressive city like Vancouver, in a progressive country like Canada, where my legal equalities have been largely fought for and won, I think there's a lot to do in terms of translating those legal equalities into day-to-day lived equalities. And I suspect that Prince George probably needs more resources and support in terms of that day-to-day lived reality.
An example of some of the work that still needs to be done. Let's go back to the phones, and Heather is waiting to comment in Kamloops. Hi, Heather.
Hi there.
Hi, go ahead, please. What would you like to say about challenges and changes that have come through for LGBTQ citizens in BC?
Well, given that I am still pretty young, I'm 27, and I'm bisexual, it's been actually really great to be able to see that that we have marriage equality here in Canada, and it's kind of difficult watching the struggles that America is going through in the same process. And I was kind of wondering what I can do to be a part of the LGBT communities to make them stronger, to be an advocate for it.
Adair Parker, do you know what she can do in Kamloops, who she can reach out to?
I think one of the bravest things that any of us can do is be ourselves. And so the fact that you're an out bisexual, I think, is fantastic. And I think bisexuals don't get enough visibility. And it's one of those orientations in our diverse rainbow that sometimes get questioned. So I think it's great that you're out and proud. And I would suggest connecting with local groups in your community. We know that there isn't a provincial resource center like us in Vancouver, but there's often university groups or local grassroots groups that are working to raise visibility.
And Heather, have you tried to reach out to anybody or looked for those local groups perhaps at local schools?
I have not started, but there is a group here in Kamloops, and I don't have a lot of events. They meet sometimes only once per month, so it's kind of difficult for me to get involved with that.
And what difference would that make for you as a young bisexual person? What difference would it make for you to become more involved in advocacy?
Well, it's something that I've always felt strongly about. I have always had a strong interest in human rights and equality for all, so it'd be really great to be more involved and make something bigger than what we have.
Good for you. Well, thanks so much for calling in, Heather.
Okay, no problem. Bye. Over
to the island now in Victoria, and Barbara is waiting to comment. Hi, Barbara.
Hello.
Hi, go ahead, please.
Yeah, I just want to make a comment about how I think it just seems so... we're just so much more able to be out and be free to be out now. I think that Victoria is very progressive. I have my best friend is lesbian in a relationship with a woman, and they have two children. My sister was transgendered. She was my brother growing up and then became my sister. And a friend of mine has a little boy who is, you know, in preschool, and he's obviously a little girl and is transgendered and is totally accepted at all the places where he goes, you know, for daycare, play school. And it's just so wonderful that we don't have to, I mean, obviously there's still going to be issues, especially when he goes to school and stuff like that. However, you know, it's we are allowed to include him as a her, until she hasn't quite decided yet whether she's a him or her, but she dresses as a girl all the time. So she hasn't quite figured out her identity yet, but, you know, we look at her and we know. She asks for Barbie dolls and she plays with, you know, so-called girls' toys. So it's so nice that everybody's becoming so much more inclusive.
And certainly sounds like she has the support around her, which is very good. Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Barbara. And Dara, that sort of visibility that she's talking about does help and enable people, even young children, to be comfortable in recognizing their identity.
It does, and it warms my heart to hear an ally like Barbara talk about all the love surrounding the people in her life, because unfortunately, I know the other side of it. At Community, we hear stories every single week of exclusion and discrimination and families who aren't as supportive and don't get it. And so I agree it's growing, and yet last week my youth worker came to me and they had a youth come into our office in crisis because he'd come out to his family and been kicked out of the home.
And still something that you see, then what would you say to those families who are not responding like Barbara's family is in Victoria?
I think it's about education and understanding, and we all need to work to be better allies to all different kinds of communities. And so we do that. We provide direct services to empower folks within our community. We continue to go out and offer education and training. And then we advocate and continue to talk about the issues that matter. It's, you know, it's not just youth either. 2 weeks ago, because I do have weekly stories. So 2 weeks ago, there was an incident of a man who was in a change room in a local municipal facility and experienced some pretty overt homophobia. And we're now working with that municipality to provide some education and training and make sure that staff know it's incumbent upon them to create an inclusive environment.
Well, let's keep talking about Victoria, because last month's Pride Week in Victoria, the theme was We Are Family. And to tell us why, we're joined on the line by Larissa Chapel, who is a spokesperson for the Victoria Pride Society and a mother of three. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
Why did you pick family as a theme to this year's Pride in Victoria?
Well, I think it's important to realize that every 3 years we have a new theme, and we just came out of a theme that was proud, as in something that we already have. And so now that we had spent 3 years really trying to highlight the fact that we here in Canada are afforded the rights and opportunities to be proud, as opposed to having to fight with such violence and having to deal with segregation as they do in other countries for that pride, we thought it was also, over the next 3 years, really important to realize that everybody experiences love from family members. And sometimes, often family is associated as the people that you love the most. They're considered your family. We're all family in one way or another. So we just wanted to sort of highlight the concept that whether your chosen family or blood family or adopted family or spirit family, however it is you identify family, we are all one way or another united in the idea of love.
Now, you have quite the story as well. You have three children. What's it been like for you raising your children in Victoria?
I feel very, very blessed to be raising my children in Victoria. It's of the places that I visited, I've certainly gone to a lot of different prides, which isn't an accurate reflection, really. I mean, pride in itself is a celebration of our rights and to bring awareness. But to sort of be a queer family and identifying queer culture in any one city can be difficult from that experience. However, I can say, being in Victoria, I've always experienced nothing but total acceptance, and I'm blown away by how accepting actually kids are in the schools these days. They're so, I mean, my daughter's ex-boyfriend was with a guy for a year before they dated for a year. So, I mean, and that's very commonplace. And in my younger daughter's classes, she's in middle school, my eldest daughters are in high school, being bisexual is very common. Or being considered, most of the time I find that the bisexuality is more common, and you know, it fair enough, right? Like it provides for more opportunity, right? For a kid, I guess that logically it makes sense. There's more people.
Well, certainly. Thank you so much for sharing the level of acceptance that you're seeing around you in Victoria, Larissa. Thanks for your time this afternoon.
You bet.
That's Larissa Chappell, who's a spokesperson for the Victoria Pride Society. Just a couple of minutes left in our discussion here about the challenges and the positive changes in our communities for LGBTQ citizens. And Heather is on the line from Prince George. Hi, Heather.
Hi there. I just wanted to add to something Valentine Crawford said about the Pride Parade here in Prince George this
yes.
summer. I went with my daughter and my grandkids because I want them to be involved in the gay community in Prince George and to see that it's just part of the rest of our community. This year in the Pride Parade, besides the mayor, there were several city councillors there. Plus, the RCMP had a couple of vehicles there. BC Ambulance Service was there, city firefighters, some of the unions, BCGEU, HEU, BCNU. And one of the Christian churches had their minister was there as well. It was just a great event here and lots of positive energy. The sidewalks were just lined with people.
Well, sounds like you, your daughter, and your grandkids all had a great time. Thanks so much for calling in, Heather.
Yes.
Happy Pride. And Derek Parker, thanks for being here and taking all the comments from our listeners.
It's my pleasure. Happy Pride.
Been great to have you. Happy Pride to you as well. Derek Parker is the Executive Director of